Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. We all have this vision of what our dream life would look like, the amount of financial freedom we have, the lifestyle, but some people, like, that dream life can feel a little elusive. So in this episode, we're going to talk about some of the shortcuts we can take to living that dream life faster, because a dream life is something that you can achieve within your lifetime. So today's guest, she basically helps other people succeed and live that dream life. And actually, she was spurred by a determination to find financial and location freedom. That was the inspiration behind her eventually quitting her job, moving across the country, and eventually living her dream life. Now she helps inspired go-getters take the shortcuts that will allow them to get to reach their dream life faster. And she also gives them the tools they can use to monetize their passions. Today's guest for episode 263 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Hannah Hermanson. Hannah, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
263 feels great. Thanks, Mark.
Hannah, it is such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success Podcast and living the dream life, that lifestyle that we want to live. I feel like, everyone wants that. So we're going to talk about that, but let's get into some background. So can you share why you decided to help others take the shortcut to the dream life?
Yeah. So I think you hit on something so key already, in that so many of us dream, you know, oh, wouldn't it be nice? Or, oh, when I win the lottery, or even worse, when I retire, I'll do the things that I love. And I just wasn't okay with that plan, really. So taking you back and getting into my story a little bit, I grew up in a small town in Wisconsin. And I saw a lot of models of people working hard during the week and chilling out on the weekend and talking about lofty goals that felt like someday plans or very far away. And as I mentioned, even from a young age, I knew I wasn't going to just play the status quo game. But again, I didn't have the exact role models that I wanted, or I didn't really know what was out there for me. So I did all of the right things. I was class president for 6 years in a row growing up. I got into a good college. I studied psychology, took leadership, whatever, like all this crap that I thought was going to lead me to success or make me happy, but really made other people happy and not so much myself, and that kind of burning desire to do more, do something different. So in college, I got some taste of travel. I had really never left the 48 states or the Midwest before I was 19 years old. And when I was 19, I started traveling to the developing world. And that's where I realized that money is made up. And that my whole life, I was living in the structure of the U.S. dollar, working for a retirement plan, having someone, you know, pay my insurance or take care of me. But that just wasn't true in other places. So that was interesting. But again, I wasn't quite sure what my role in the world would be or how I would, like, break free of this mold. But I wanted to help young people set big goals and achieve them. So I became an academic advisor, which I really thought would be great. I could encourage these college kids to go travel like I did, and we could set goals and make 4-year plans. And I quickly found myself repeating myself every half an hour, handing out the same prescription that I was so frustrated with. and really not seeing the progress or the light in the eyes of other people that I wanted to. So I tried lots of things, as you might hear from just my energy or some of my story already. I go all in and I get really passionate. Maybe you have some of that in you. I find that in a lot of go-getters and entrepreneurs. So I first started dabbling in network marketing, which was a good fit for a couple of years. And ultimately, I found that I kind of outgrew that mission. I was selling someone else's products. It just wasn't true to me any longer. So I did the quintessential white girl millennial thing, and I became a yoga teacher. And that was, yes, a spiritual journey, but also an entrepreneurial journey. I realized on hindsight, I learned how to become a contractor and recruit students to my classes and offer a ton of value to keep people coming back. And through teaching yoga, I started connecting with more and more people who thought outside the box, who were flexible, not only, you know, in their physical workouts, but also in their thinking about the world and approaching a lifestyle. So I did the barefoot granola thing and quit my job to pursue my passion of yoga, actually with a startup. And that startup, again, obviously really taught me a lot about what's possible within the realm of entrepreneurship and self-starting. But as with startup stories, I didn't see the outcomes that I anticipated when I joined the team and thought I would be compensated with a salary. That salary quickly went away, but I didn't lose my passion to unlocking potential in the world and helping other people get that sparkle, get that excitement of like trying new things, of doing what they actually love and letting go of those traditional, conventional ideas that we've got to work for the man and, you know, count the hours until Friday, and that there are ways to support ourselves outside of those systems. Are you still with me?
Yeah, and I mean, you went really deep, which is good because people get a really good idea for the backstory and how basically you don't have to stay in the same spot if you don't feel like you're fulfilled or you don't feel like you're creating the impact that you want. So I really liked how you went deep into your story. And you also mentioned how some people, they think, oh, when I win the lottery, when I retire. And I feel like people think that way because maybe they think their dream life is impossible. Maybe they think it's unattainable or they just don't know the steps. So I'm like, we both know it's possible. Like we've seen it in ourselves. We've seen people we've come across. So how exactly, though, do we create a plan to reach the dream lifestyle for ourselves, but also create the plan in such a way where we actually believe that it's possible?
Yeah, I love that question because I think a lot of people actually think that the hoping and playing the lottery and visualizing is the shortcut. And I'm very woo-woo. I own that. I mentioned I'm a yoga teacher. I totally appreciate the power of the law of attraction, visualizing, all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a strategy and, like you said, a plan that's going to actually make your dream life your real life, it can get very frustrating and take a long time. So the first thing is deciding what your dream life is and what you actually want. I speak with so many people who have very vague ideas, right? Oh, okay, I want financial freedom. I want to travel. I want my family to be taken care of. And I help my clients and people I talk to get crystal clear on what is it going to be like to wake up in your dream life. And if you don't know what happens at 6 a.m., 8 a.m., like, how can you start moving towards that? And there's a lot of, you know, the compound effect, and lots of people talk about tracking your progress. And that's hard to do also if you don't know at least the main direction you're going in. So the first step is to let go of the how, let go of the feasible, and write down exactly how your dream days would be. So for me, when I did this the first time, I was working in a desk job. It was a crappy February in Wisconsin. Bleak. If anyone's been in the Midwest, you know what February means. And I thought, I'm going to wake up to ocean waves. And let's say 8:30. At this point in my life, I was getting up early, hustling, doing all this morning routine stuff, which whatever. But no, in my dream life is to sleep in and to wake up naturally. And then I'm going to go for a run with sand in my toes. And when I get back, you know, so literally like these detailed things with a timeline. And then once you can really like take a step back, you know, I think also I need to just mention that when people do this, they often find that they would like to do a little work. So you don't have to outline exactly what you're going to be working on, but really, you know, chart this out as if it's like a real life day, not a vacation, but a routine that you would want to maintain.
And I really like how, like the vivid detail in that, like on the beach, running with sand in your, so that's a very detailed picture. And the more visual you make the vision, the easier it is to put in the work because you have a more clear finish line. Like you see any race, whether it's a marathon or something else, like people are in like full gallop when they're towards the finish line. They find that extra in them. So if you're able to visualize, it could really make a big difference. But part of achieving the vision is being able to make the money to make it happen, because money can, in a sense, by some of the freedoms that make that lifestyle possible. So how can we make a profit from our passion?
Oh, I love that question. Because yes, we start big, we start lofty, and then how do we incrementally get closer to that? And so just as you, listener, friend on this podcast, Mark, maybe, you charted out what your dream life would be or the aspirations you have, I want you to consider someone that you would like to help. Because I find that the fastest way to monetize your passion is to share it with others in a life-changing way. So what I help people do is create what I call a priceless offer so that you can be putting a nice income or sticker price or whatever you want to call it, cost on an investment that you can share with someone else to actually change their life. And I help people get into a dream life. That's broad. But I have some clients who help people achieve a health goal that they used to have, or a mindfulness practice, or a marketing plan that they didn't have at some point in their life. So thinking about creating a priceless offer, something that you can share with just a few people to start, because that's really how I help my clients quickly monetize their passions and their talents, is by creating a service with, you know, a high ticket offer. So let me go back. I was starting to get into this. When you think about, all right, who can I help with a service? Like, what is it that they're thinking about that I can speak to? And so priceless, if we're going to keep going with this activity that really changed my ability to make money, is a, what I now call a dream life in a real life exercise. So we already talked about you got the vision for your dream life. You know how you talk about it, but now put on the shoes or the flip flops of the people that you know could benefit from the passions that you have, the talents that you already have, and start jotting down their actual words. How do they talk about the reality, the real life that they have right now, the pain points, the challenges? And then also, how do they talk about their dreams? Where do they want to go? Where are these? And again, this could be a health goal, a marketing goal, a financial goal, whatever. You're going to just focus on something that you've got an area of expertise in. So an example is one of my clients who is a health coach. You know, she had lost a lot of time and money and energy trying to heal an autoimmune disease. And she went back thinking about that challenge and that pain. And she even looked at old journals and wrote down the experiences and the thoughts she was having. And that was her real life column. And then in her dream life column was, you know, the health that she had found through nutrition and alternative medicine and the community she was building and the lifestyle that she had only dreamed of. And then we look at those and we compare and we start to notice what connections we can offer people between their dream life and their real life. And those connections and that support and those principles or, you know, those things that you had experienced in your life become your priceless offer. And I help people kind of package that and stuff. But I think a really great starting point is to start outlining what are the experiences that you can help people get out of or get into.
And I really like that angle where you focus on the value that you can provide and helping people, creating that impact. And one thing I want you to know that Hannah mentioned is having that high ticket service. So like for any income goal, like let's say you want to make $10,000 per month, you could sell thousands of books. I mean, that's something that people do. That's something that that's one of my goals to do. But you could also just have like two clients who pay you $5,000 per month or 10 clients who pay you $1,000 per month and you hit your goal of 10 grand per month. So Hannah pointed out the high ticket as well. And it's something that I wanted you to, that's something I wanted to emphasize to you as well. And one of the things that like I feel like affects a lot of people with their, when they're pursuing their dream life is maybe they feel like, as we mentioned before, like you can't do it, like you have the mindset. But in addition to maybe limiting beliefs, what do you believe holds most people back to reaching their dream life?
Yeah, I'm so glad. Like, okay, limiting beliefs. Let's realize that those are something you need to, you know, overcome. And really, I think that thinking too small is what holds people back. So let me give you an example. Another client of mine came to me just because she wanted to pay off debt. And it was like a little bit desperate, but also she knew she had a lot of expertise. She actually worked as a IT tech support person in a large corporation. So she had all of these like really niche tech skills, yet she needed to pay off debt and she wanted to do it, like you said, in the high ticket kind of way. So she only needed a few people. And she thought, all right, so like I have $100,000 in debt. If I want to pay it off this year, I need to make $10,000 a month. And as you just mentioned, like, yeah, you can do that with 10 people. And her work snowballed so much that she, you know, easily made her, you know, she paid off half of her debt in the first few months. And then it was like, wow, okay, it's not just about me and my debt anymore. I realized that people have a lot of pain points, a lot of real life column around technology, and I need to get this to more people. And so her starting out just thinking about herself and her debt did hold her back a little bit at the beginning of her business because she was so focused on just like, you know, the fundamental needs, her own thing. And I think that when we can take our perspective, whether it's thinking about the people who need more of your technology support, if you look at the world at large and actually consider the disservice you're doing people without sharing your vision, without sharing your gifts. Like, that's where I get so much motivation. And I think our focus needs to be more than just the day to day. Okay, am I drinking a smoothie? Am I paying my bills? Where's like my run going to take me? But like, we hold ourselves back so much without thinking about the global impact that each of us holds.
And I really like flipping it a little bit. Instead of thinking like you're thinking of the person who you're providing value to and how like the disservice you're doing by not going out there and providing value. The some people call it like selfishness of you not going out there providing the value that you could be providing, because like when you have a podcast or blog post or a product or service, you go abandon that or you don't produce it. And there are a lot of people who could have used it who are not using it. And that can really give you the motivation to live your dream life, especially if you're able to connect all of the product, service, content with that dream and the emotion as well of the disservice of you, by you not pursuing the dream. It doesn't just affect you, it also affects the people who you could have served. So I really like that idea of something that we can do. But I know that on the path to living the dream life, there are certain challenges that we come across along the way. And I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and the powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Yeah. So something we haven't touched on quite yet is there's another piece of my organization. You know, I do the dream life coaching, and I also, my partner and I actually have curriculum for middle school students so that they start to get this perspective of like, I have so much potential in the world. I'm not going to wait for the lottery or just pray on my YouTube channel to explode. But anyway, my partner and I are alongside someone who supported me, but just didn't get it. And he is really a great cheerleader. Obviously, now he has seen me make dream life real life and what's possible in my life and my clients' lives. And he actually is not going back to the classroom. We're full-time digital nomads pursuing our passion projects full-time. But the challenge was really accepting the fact that people don't get it. Even people that love you and want the best for you and hope that you achieve all of your goals, like breaking out of that mold, out of that status quo, out of that Wisconsin upbringing or, you know, just small town upbringing was really hard for me. And what I realized, because I spent a lot of time defending myself and trying to explain entrepreneurship or my mission statement so that people would get me. But in doing that, I realized that I didn't get myself. I didn't actually get the, you know, mission I was on or the real qualities that I wanted to exemplify in my work. And so I had to do a lot of soul work on, you know, it's not about explaining or defending or convincing people to join my movement, but I need to be confident in the fact that, yes, me standing in my greatness, sharing my gifts, is going to make the world better, and people will be attracted to that. And I don't want to force people into that. And so, you know, we had, I mean, I could tell you lots of specific conversations or, you know, tiffs we had, if you will, about just that tension between entrepreneurship and the conventional lifestyle and not forcing people to get behind you, but rather just embodying it and trusting yourself.
And at the end of the day, you do have to have that level of trust in yourself, and the level of trust you have in yourself will be a critical factor in determining how far you go with pursuing your dream life and eventually reaching it. That trust in yourself being very key for everything that you do. And one of the things that is also very key is learning as much as possible. I know you're doing a great job with that by listening to this podcast, but I believe we could all be learning by reading. So with that in mind, Hannah, can you share with us three books that you believe will have a positive impact on us?
Yes, absolutely. So number one, I have him in my back pocket. I'm actually going to go spend a week with him next week, is Jack Canfield, The Success Principles. Have you read it, Mark?
Honestly, no, but I have heard that from several guests.
Yes, it is a game changer. And like I said, I've read it dozens of times and I have it with me now in Kindle, but all the time. And I recommend that to anyone and everyone, no matter what your goals are, no matter if you're an entrepreneur or a stay-at-home mom, it's amazing. So that's my number one. Number two is I do really appreciate Jen Sincero's You Are a Badass. I think sometimes we all can use that little like reminder, that kick in the butt that's like, you got this. And like you said, having that belief in yourself, it's kind of helpful to hear it from other people or read it. And then finally, something a bit different maybe, but it's called The Yamas and Niyamas, and it's by Deborah Adele. And it's focused on the limbs of yoga. As I mentioned earlier, yoga is not just about your flexibility on the yoga mat, but it's also about how do you implement mindfulness, flexibility, compassionate understanding into your day-to-day life in a way that isn't so like yoga textbook Sanskrit, but really approachable and adaptable.
Hannah, thank you for sharing with us those great book recommendations. We will throw all of those into the show notes, marketbirdie.com/E263. We will also throw in Podcast Domination in the show notes for anyone interested in growing, launching, and monetizing their show. That will be marketbirdie.com/PD. And before I wrap up this episode, Hannah, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
What is it costing you to play small? If you're thinking just about your own needs and taking care of the basic things, what are you missing out on? And if you started to think a little bigger, how much abundance could you bring in to not only your own life, your own bank account, but the world at large?
Hannah, thank you for sharing with us that question. And I mean, I just want to tail on this a little bit, but I was at Podcast Movement in July. I got to actually meet a lot of people, including Victor Monash, who was a former guest on Breakthrough Success. And he told me at Podcast Movement that people who play small end up staying small. So you definitely want to think about ways to not stay small. And yes, take baby steps, but eventually you always want to be thinking big. So Hannah, thank you for sharing with us that really great question and all the great insights throughout this episode. And if you guys want to learn more about Hannah, she's actually offering a free 1-hour strategy call with either her or someone on her team. You can get that free 1-hour strategy call at dreamlifeisreallife.com/connect. Hannah, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to share all of your great insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Yes, great time. Thanks, Mark.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn